My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Big story. It was broke yesterday on Pro Football Talk by this man. He is Mike Florio. And the story, the headline, Deshaun Watson sued for sexual assault and battery. And we bring him on right now. He is Mike Florio, and he's on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Don't forget about his book that's out right now, Son of Mine. It's available on Amazon. Hi, Mike. How are you?
Doing great, guys. How are you?
Hi, Mike.
Oh, good. Man, what is the deal with Deshaun Watson? And are we ever going to be able to walk away from the story here? Because it continues to go on. On and on. And now we're wondering what's next. What's next for the Browns? What's next for the league? And just kind of get us up to speed.
Well, when we reached the two-year anniversary of the wave of lawsuits, well over 20 of them that were filed against Deshaun Watson in March of 2021, that's when it all started. When we hit 2023, there was just a general conclusion that, okay, there can't be anything else because in most of these situations, the statute of limitations, the deadline for filing your lawsuit, is 2 years from the date of the incident. And so that was my first thought when another lawsuit emerged. Oh, wait a minute, something has happened more recently that would be within the statute of limitations. But as it turns out in Texas, for sexual assault, it's a five-year statute. And that is the claim that's made here. Most of the other cases, it got into a notion of offensive behavior. It wasn't really a sexual assault per se. People were made to feel uncomfortable by the alleged circumstances, and if the allegations are true, justifiably so. But it wasn't something that would fall directly and squarely into classic sexual assault. This one does if the allegations are true. And again, these are just allegations, but it is a lawsuit that's been filed. The question is, since it looks like it will survive any type of a statute of limitations challenge, and even if it couldn't, if this is new to the NFL, what will they do about it? Can they do anything about it? They handpicked the cases that they put in front of Judge Sue Robinson to support the suspension that was sought 2 years ago. The NFLPA could say that was your chance and you knew or should have known about this other case. Did they know or should they have known about this other case? Did the Browns know or should they have known about this other case? And really, as it relates to Watson's contract, was this claim disclosed in writing by him to the Browns when he signed? Because there's a paragraph in his contract, paragraph number 42, that makes it clear that if it wasn't previously disclosed and it does result in a suspension, they can void the guarantees. And that would be the escape hatch that the Browns, with $92 million beyond this year, they could, if Watson would be suspended for this and it wasn't disclosed, they could, if they wanted to, rip up the contract and move on.
Mike, you've laid out some differences between this and the previous cases. Is that enough of a difference that it could spike some kind of a morals clause or something else that could allow the Browns, if they chose to get out of the contract?
It all comes down to whether or not, first, he disclosed this to the Browns when the contract was done as part of the trade that happened in early 2022. The other issue would be, is this sufficiently new to allow the league to take action? They had presented to Judge Sue Robinson, the independent third party who is the fact finder in these disciplinary cases, they had presented a handful of the cases, of all the cases out there. They narrowed it down to a few that they pushed for discipline on. Did they have this one at their disposal when they decided which ones. Because the argument would be, if I'm the union, hey, this is over, this is done. You either knew about it or you should have known about it. You had a chance to do a full and complete investigation, and you didn't take action based on this, so you can't come back and do it now. That case is over. This isn't a new case that you didn't have on your radar screen. That's what the union probably would argue if it ever came down to it. We don't know what the league's going to do. I asked the league about it yesterday. They declined comment. I asked the Browns about it. They didn't respond to my inquiry. So I don't know what anybody's going to do. But, you know, here's the bottom line. And we were talking about this on PFT Live today. Devin McCourty made this point. If the team wants to get on with their existence and move away from Deshaun Watson, and they have this thing fall into their lap, why wouldn't they use it? I made the point yesterday on PFT Live before we even knew about it. Boy, the Browns, the only way out of this is if he gets suspended. The Browns would love for him to get suspended because then they could escape the $92 million that he's owed next year and the year after.
And you think they'd want to go in that direction based on play, based on continued drama?
Well, I don't know what the Browns want to do. Last year, after the Week 2 game at Pittsburgh, when he shoved an official and he wasn't even disciplined for it, I made the point then that if he would be suspended for making contact with an official, that that would potentially allow the Browns to void the guarantees. And someone reached out and said, well, we're not looking to do that. Because I think some interpreted it as the Browns are actively looking for a way out of this contract. But that was a year ago. He played six games last season. It didn't go well on Sunday against the Cowboys. Excuse me. At some point, will they say, man, we'd love to have something like this fall into our laps so we could move on from Deshaun Watson? I'm sure there are plenty of fans right now that wish that would happen, that would like to move on, that wish they could get back the money and the three first-round draft picks and the three other draft picks that were given up. Think of how good the Browns roster would be right now if they had retained those picks and used them and not dumped all that money into Watson. So if there's a way to declare victory and retreat, I think the Browns would at least have to consider it if it would happen to literally fall into their laps.
Mike, were they looking for was Deshaun's camp maybe looking for a settlement before this thing hit the papers? Does that make and how many other women could there be out there? I mean, we already know, like you said, 20 plus. And, I mean, could there be other situations where they settled before it ever hit the court?
Well, with a five-year statute of limitations, there could be others. There could be cases that have settled that we never knew about. In this new lawsuit, there is a reference made to an attempt to try to resolve the case before filing it, and that wasn't successful. Now, you're not required to try to resolve a case with someone before you settle it, but when you're talking about someone who's in a public profile like this, and there are other issues that immediately would arise, such as possible suspension or having his guarantees voided, there is additional settlement value. And it becomes delicate for the lawyers, to say the least, because you're supposed to be trying to settle the case based upon the damages that you would prove at trial and what the case is actually worth as relates to a verdict. You know, well, we think this would be a big verdict, so we'll settle it for 75% of what we think we can get. When part of the settlement pressure is you don't want this to get out, we start straddling the line of extortion. And that word gets thrown around a lot lazily and inappropriately in this setting, because it's not extortion to approach someone before filing a lawsuit that you plan to file and say this is your opportunity to resolve it. But there is a line that gets very blurry between the actual value of the case being the driving force for settlement and the value of no one knowing about the case. And that becomes, I think, problematic at some level for a lawyer who's putting his or her thumb on the scale, because they know if this comes out, it's going to create problems for the person unrelated to the lawsuit itself.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mike Florio joining us. Mike, if you think Deshaun Watson is happy here, do you think he's enjoys being a Cleveland Brown and the way this has played out? Or I mean, he's got a lot of $230 million reasons to be happy here, but with everything else hasn't worked.
I love to study the body language of quarterbacks during games, at press conferences, what they say, how they say it, look in their eyes, etc. He's lost his confidence, I believe, and he just doesn't seem like a guy who's truly engaged, and he's clearly not as effective as he was when he was in Houston, and he last had a great season in 2020. And I don't know whether it's the embarrassment of all the allegations that have been made, his defiance, if he truly believes he's innocent, and I don't know how strongly he clings to that now, but there have been moments where you get the impression he still denies that he did anything wrong, even after the NFL suspended him for 11 games 2 years ago, and even after all of the settlements that have been paid out. So I don't know what it is, and I don't know, did he ever really want to come to Cleveland, or was it just $46 million per year on a five-year deal fully guaranteed, and nobody else was willing to do that? Did he even consider whether he wanted to play for the Browns? Was it just, I'm going to go grab the most money I can, and as long as it's anywhere but the Houston Texans, I'm fine with it? So I think there's a lot of factors that go into it, but he's not the guy that he was 4 years ago. There may be a lot of different reasons for that, but the guy we see on the field, the guy we see off the field, is a very different person than the guy we saw 4 years ago.
It's hard not to think that. I mean, he had to have known this lawsuit was going to get dropped before the weekend, don't you? Is that possible or no?
I don't know how surprised he or his camp were, but there is a parallel here. It's the Monday after the first Sunday of the season. That's when the Ray Rice video was dropped by TMZ 10 years ago, and that turned the league upside down. This has had an impact, and this has created a lot of questions. It didn't land with that same thud as the Ray Rice video did in 2014, the day after week one, but I suspect it was calculated to be filed and to be noticed the day after the first Sunday of the regular season, and it's a big deal because we thought this was all over.
Right.
We thought it was done. That's what was so stunning about it. My first response was, what has happened recently? Because we thought all the stuff from back in that 2020, 21, 2019 time frame was over and done and gone.
Mike Florio is joining us from Pro Football Talk. How discombobulated did the Browns look to you on Sunday? Let's talk a little football. And Deshaun was a part of that, but boy, it wasn't all on him.
It could just never really get going. And look, the strength of the team last year was the defense. Maybe the Cowboys' offense is the best one they're going to see all year. I don't know. I just think that it's hard to talk about the Browns without factoring in who their quarterback is and this weird cloud of uncertainty that continues to linger over him. Last year, they were kind of up and down while he was playing. They had that great signature win at Baltimore right before we found out he needed shoulder surgery and was done for the year. And then they found a way to focus on the guys they had, and in comes Joe Flacco, and special regular season that culminated in a disappointing postseason showing. But I just think now you've got a team where, if it's possible to remove Deshaun Watson from the equation, should feel pretty good about itself. But then the most important position is a guy that we don't know if he still has it, and it looks like he's lost it. And at what point does that drag the team down? I think Joe Flacco didn't come back, wasn't asked back, wanted to come back, because they understood that what would happen on Sunday at some point during that game.
Oh, the fans would have been going crazy.
They'd have been going crazy for Joe Flacco.
Yeah.
And they're already talking about Jameis Winston, who is a failed former number one overall pick, who has had chances to be a starter since leaving Tampa Bay and hasn't played well enough to be a starter. That talk is already starting. So I think it was political, not political in the classic sense, but political as it relates to, we don't want to put ourselves in a position where we have to bench Deshaun Watson with all this money we owe him. That's the problem. that gigantic contract is an anchor around the franchise. The cap numbers next year go through the roof, north of $70 million after the restructuring they did this year. And at what point do they just bite the bullet and pay the money and do what the Broncos did with Russell Wilson, pay him to play for someone else? That's why if this new lawsuit becomes a thing and he gets suspended, the Browns have that opportunity to get out of this thing. And you wonder whether or not the league's even going to help him, because remember all the talk from 2022 when the contract was done about the Haslam getting the cold shoulder, the owners being upset. There was eventually a collusion grievance that's still pending regarding the refusal to give other quarterbacks fully guaranteed contracts. That contract the Browns did made a big problem for the league, and I don't know how anxious the league is going to be to throw the Browns a lifeline.
Jeff and I were talking about that on the way into work today. Yep. You know, as much as you thought that, would they be better served than just releasing him after the new year on June 1st and then trying to go into next year? To me, it just seems like the cap money they keep pushing down the road is just like crushing to the franchise. But how bad is it if they wait until June 1st and then let him go into next season?
Well, you can still release him pre-June 1 with a post-June 1 designation.
Okay.
And then that would enhance the likelihood he would land somewhere else, but he would just do what Russell Wilson did. You go somewhere else for the league minimum, and the Browns are on the hook for the remainder of the $46 million. He's still making $46 million next year and the year after. The question is, how much of it will the Browns pay? How much of it will someone else pay? It's shades of the Brock Osweiler trade. Remember when the Browns picked up the second-round pick by taking on the $16 million salary that Brock Osweiler had, and then they eventually cut him? He landed back in Denver for the minimum, and the Browns had to pay the difference, but they happily paid the difference because they were paying for the draft pick they got from the Texans. Browns wouldn't be getting anything for this other than the satisfaction of moving on from Watson, the message it would send to the fan base, to the locker room. We just have to acknowledge our mistake and move forward. And there are people in the league who firmly live by the notion that if you make a mistake, the moment you know you've made the mistake, rectify it. If you delay or double down, you only make it worse. And I'm not saying the Browns are there yet, but they are moving in that direction. And how the rest of this season goes is going to, I think, be enough evidence for the Browns to either admit that they made a mistake or truly and legitimately declare victory. This is the year. There's still 16 chapters left in the book. We'll see how it goes. But if it goes like it did on Sunday, I think they have a tough decision to make when the season ends.
Mike, how do you think the Tyreek Hill video is playing in New York right now as we see now we see the body cam footage from the police, and like everybody had their phones out. I mean, we saw, all of us saw what happened. How is this playing in New York now?
Well, I think that it's possible that both sides had some degree of fault here. It doesn't have to be crystal clear one side is right and the other side is wrong. And the problem is both sides have kind of hunkered down in their respective corners, and they're blaming the other. The police union says Tyreek Hill was uncooperative. The Dolphins are saying what the police did was over the top and reprehensible. I think that Tyreek Hill should have been more cooperative at the outset. There is a reason that the police officers want you to have tinted windows rolled down. They want to be able to see whether or not you might have a weapon that you would use against them. That is a legitimate safety concern. But at some point, trying to get him to comply with the order crossed over into, I'll show you, I'll teach you a lesson, almost like punishing a child. Like, okay, well, you're complying now. I don't care. It's too late for that. You're going to go face down on the pavement, and you're going to have your hands cuffed behind your back, and you're going to be treated like this as punishment for daring to not comply and cooperate. That's where the police officers were in the wrong. And what I would like to see happen is Tyreek Hill and the police officers come together, acknowledge their mutual fault for this, with more of it, I think, landing on the side of the police officers, but use this as a way to educate everyone on how to properly handle these interactions. What should you do? Devin McCourty was on PFT Live today, and he said, when I get pulled over, I put all my windows down, and I leave them down. I don't want anyone to think I'm a threat. I never want there to be any confusion or misunderstanding. And, you know, the Tyreek attitude of just give me my ticket, I'm late, that's not going to set the right tone for the interaction. But still, at some point, the guy with the badge and the gun, decided he's going to show Tyreek Hill who's boss, and he's going to punish Tyreek Hill for daring to defy him. That's when the cops were in the wrong. So I hope that there's nuance here, and I hope that the two sides find a way to come together and try to create something good out of all of this.
Mike, your book, Son of Mine, on sale now. I see you with it on Pro Football Talk. How's it going?
Well, it's, you know, the problem is, and I've learned my lesson here, don't release a book the Tuesday of the season starting, because I've basically forgotten about it. I need to be promoting it. It is really, really good. And I know that, you know, oh, well, what's he going to say? It sucks. I'm telling you, it's really, really good. And I would give you a money-back guarantee if I could. I'll give you my personal guarantee. I'll stake my reputation on it, whatever reputation I have left. It's only $4.99. You can't buy anything for $4.99 nowadays. $14.99 for the print edition. And I'm telling you, if you like mob stories, if you like something that moves fast, people are buying it and reading it in a day. They're pissed at me because they'd like it to, you know, take them through the weekend or something, because it's nice to have a world that you escape to, and it's fun to be reading a good book. You look forward to those quiet moments where you can get away from everything and do it. But when you sit down and like eat the whole pizza in one sitting, that pisses people off. So I'm sorry that the pizza is so good you're eating it all in one sitting, but it's better than not having the pizza at all. So go buy the pizza for $4.99, cheaper than you can find a pizza anywhere, and you will enjoy it, and it won't add any inches to your waistline.
Very good. All right, Mike. Thank you. As always, you know we appreciate your time, and we always read your stuff. You're the Bible when it comes to the NFL. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you,
guys. All right. Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.